today's discussion is very dear to my heart in a way that I have a hypothesis, as we all have at work. I have a hypothesis that this was the root cause of a lot of my problems, just growing in my career in tech, especially last 4 or 5 years of it, where I was like enrolling as a product manager. There's a lot of situations that you have to say no, and you have to make a lot of like tough calls at moments. And that's honestly the fun part of the job. But the amount of the no's that you have to be able to say is very high. And oftentimes I found myself struggling with that. And I got very good feedbacks from my mentors during those times. And I mean, I tried to improve it, but hey, it's one of those topics that I always wanted to learn more. So when Alec and I, we were talking about how we can collaborate on this project and many more, hopefully, he brought up this idea of like, let's practice saying no. And I will pass it to Alec to start this conversation. And we're going to have some sort of a workshop like last week as well. We're going to share some spreadsheet and do something there as well. So I'm so excited. Alec, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. My background is an engineer, but an atypical engineer. I was an English major. I also studied instructional psychology. One thing I appreciated about engineers is they're very blunt with critical feedback. Like the first thing they look at when they see code is a bug. And you'd think they'd be really good at saying no, but I find they're very conflict averse. Even with all my additional English training, and I was found at the place we worked, actually, Course Hero, I was one of the most likely to raise my hand and comment critically on things that were not necessarily code, like why aren't we doing the minimum viable product for this, you know, 6 to 9 month release plan? Why don't we make it smaller release? And so I'd push back, and I'd push back enough they actually gave me an opportunity to teach a training on conflict resolution. At first, I thought they'd pick the wrong person because I probably brought up the most conflict. But they're like, no, we actually want that. We want you to talk about how to bring up conflict. But I recently had an experience where I realized that negative, like providing critical feedback is a tough skill, but it's not nearly as tough as saying no. And I was still not good at saying no with all of this practice and all of this communication training. So what I want to do today is help you guys become more comfortable with saying no. And really with two things, I have a story in which I hope to show you the benefits of saying no, because a lot of times I think when we look at a no, the only consequence we're thinking of is like, oh no, someone won't like me because I'm not agreeing with them. But there are so many other consequences that I'll illustrate, and I hope you can kind of see the idea. It's not just that you will be less stressed and have less to do because you say no. You can actually have better relationships, more opportunities by saying no. I want to drive that point home, that hopefully it makes it a little bit easier to stomach a no when you start to look forward to what good can I do with this no, rather than just, oh, is someone not going to like me saying no? And two, I want to make it easier by giving you a really straightforward format that is based on some of my conflict training, but specifically applied to no and when you're protecting a boundary. And that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about no. You have a boundary, something that's happening that you want to not happen, some kind of personal boundary, could be in your work, could be in other relationships, that you want to protect. How do you protect that in a way that is respectful, that is likely to be heard, and again, that is likely to lead not just to conflict, but positive, like more positive relationships. So we're going to have a chance to practice that template. But I get to tell a fun story of one of my hardest contracts. So for a while, I was working for companies, and then I went independent as a consultant. I did some executive coaching for people in the tech space for a while. And I was still in a sweet spot where, because I was kind of working with them, I was giving critical feedback, but I didn't have to say no. And then I moved into consulting for a particular firm that wanted to do financial software and do MVP style prototypes. And I love that, as Ali knows. I love that. And so I'm like, okay, and if I don't have to find clients and they're finding clients for me, maybe this is going to be a great fit. This company also did something that I love, which is before hiring, they actually had a test phase. And so they paid you not quite what you would get, like your full salary, But you had 2 weeks where like either side could say no if it wasn't working out. And I'm a huge believer in like making low risk decisions. So that's beautiful. I get into this test phase and there's actually two people being evaluated for the same lead software position, helping kind of architect and shape the software as well as being client facing. So we're going to be hired in at the same level. We have a prototype that has about 6 features. I take 3 of them. The other person takes 3. We're supposed to complete them at 2 weeks. And at the end of 2 weeks, this person has kind of like half completed one of those features, hasn't completed the others. And then from some of the questions they ask at the end of this 2 weeks, it's really clear that this person didn't even understand what they were supposed to be building. And I was like trying to be an overachiever. Like I finished my 3 features plus got back to the project's lead and thought like, hey, I think here are some like user errors we might run into. So let's do some additional validations and try and, loop back and do extra work. So at the end of that, I thought, I am so glad we did this test period, because can you imagine if they hired this guy not knowing that he really struggles to finish features on time? And so they offer me a job. They actually offer either full-time or a long-term contract. And my gut tells me like, well, just, you know, take the long-term contract and you can always go full-time later, which I think was a wise decision. So they hire me, and this other person who had a lot of difficulty finishing his features is hired on not only in my same group, but we are co-leads of the project. And at this point, I'm, you know, starting to sweat a little bit. Like, did they see something I didn't? You know, maybe he just wasn't taking that seriously. At this point, I start to drop some hints like, hey, we have a deadline coming up. Are you sure you're going to be able to make it? When I'm not seeing the code, I comment, looks like you might be having some difficulty. Is there something you need help with? Like, kind of drop these hints of like, you know, let's get the software done on time. And then the first client facing meeting, he does the same thing where it's like he has a part of a few of the features. Some of them are buggy. Some of them are completely missing. And at that point, right, I have this strong boundary in a way that I did not necessarily have working one-on-one coaching clients or working as an employee or leading teams, where this person not showing up directly to a client-facing meeting is really immediately hurting me. And so there's a boundary. And at this point, I have to get good at saying no. And it is during this time period where I realized kind of this whole framework that there are aspects of feedback and protecting boundaries that we're more comfortable with. And I have a visual, if I can share that, that I think will resonate with people. All right, can you see the graph?
Yes.
Okay, great. So this is kind of a graph. It's a sample graph. This is going to be different for each person. But this is kind of a graph of what it might look like. On the bottom are levels of boundary protection. So starting from almost none, i.e. silence, to like pushing back a little bit, hints. That was where I was before. Making direct statements that this is not okay, negotiating for specific change, making ultimatums, leaving. I don't recommend this, but probably the most extreme example of protecting boundaries is the FU, where you kind of explode. You want not only to leave, but to get a rise out of someone or, you know, hurt them or whatever. You know, that's the full range of what you could do from like nothing to, you know, going to 11 on the boundary protection. In terms of comfort, though, what happens is for the most part, people are not 100% comfortable with silence because you're not comfortable. Your boundaries are still being pushed. But you're actually comfortable enough a lot of times when something starts to push your boundaries. The first thing you do is wait and see what happens. And then as your boundaries continue to be pushed, you might start to hit, which is less comfortable, but not nearly as scary as the direct statement or the negotiating. We are extremely uncomfortable with this. We're so uncomfortable with the direct statement and the negotiation that a lot of times we skip straight to ultimatums or just straight up leaving. And at a certain point where we feel our boundaries have been really pushed, We're actually 100% comfortable leaving. It feels great. It feels exciting. If our boundaries are really pushed, some people, you know, have that last impulse to really make a scene while they're leaving. Not so much most programmers, but so there's kind of this U-shaped pattern to what we're comfortable with. And I realized in the situation that I was in that I tried silence, didn't work. I tried hinting, it didn't work. And I was really uncomfortable with this situation where I had a contract where it's directly client facing, you know, my line, my reputation, or my name, my reputation on the line. So I really didn't want to skip to the end of this curve. And I had to figure out, all right, how can I protect my boundaries in a way that preserves this relationship? And so I went back to my communication. Oh yeah, I guess click in this slideshow and go full screen. But I had to go back to my communication training, and this is pretty much the best framework I came up with. So this is positive feedback or validation. It's something you start with to show that you're on the same page. You really don't let people are probably at the point where boundaries have been pushed. And especially if you're frustrated, and often people can sense that more than you think. It's easy to get defensive. And if you jump right into a criticism, even more easy to get defensive. It's helpful to let them know you're on the same page, either by positive feedback or validation. I'll give examples of both. The second thing is when you're making your criticism, lead with a concrete observation. This is sense data. This is what you see or hear, not a judgment. So this is, I guess I'll get into that example in just a moment. I'll give you a whole example at once. And then the third thing is the impact on you. How is this affecting you? And the last part is where you open up. You have several different options, but a lot of them, I think, that are most successful fall into one of three categories, which is a request, where you have a specific request for things to change. Second is a opening up a dialogue, typically with a question like, how can I or how can we do something together? This can be really helpful. Actually, even if you have a specific request in mind, sometimes if someone is really defensive or they haven't thought through the situation, before they can buy into a request, they actually need to think it through. And so you actually have to ask them, like, given this problem, given this impact, how can we X? And that forces them to start to actually think through your position where they may not have done that before. So that's really powerful. It's also powerful if you don't have a request and you're just looking for a better solution. And lastly is just silence. You could just say, hey, this isn't working for me and here's the impact on me. And sometimes if you don't have a specific request, if you just want to be heard, this can be effective. This could also be effective as kind of just the walk away negotiation tactic. Like if things really aren't working for you and you're willing to walk away, but you use this framework, you go through 1, 2, and 3, even without saying something, even without making a request at the end, you will find sometimes that people come back to you. And I'll give you an example of that. I actually had so many opportunities to say no at this contract that I had an example of all of them. So with this particular person, basically I gave him direct feedback. I went back to that, direct statement, and just called him up on the phone and said, you missed this deadline. You missed these features. These were the bugs. That's not acceptable. And he got really defensive because I missed that first part, the positive feedback. So that conversation went almost nowhere until I validated him, which is not necessarily giving a compliment, like a positive feedback, I think we all know. But the validation piece is giving someone a compliment. You're me. Stop presenting. The positive feedback part, I think people understand. The validation is just saying their concerns are valid or reasonable. So when I started to say, hey, I get this seems like a lot, I didn't actually have to say, I think you're doing a great job programming or anything. At that moment, there were some compliments I could have paid him. At that moment, it was difficult for me to think of one. But I could say, like, hey, I had been silent or hinting. I hadn't been upfront all of a sudden I'm being upfront. This is a shift in our relationship. I understand that's a lot. That is the part when we started to be able to move into talking about the problem and the solution. I specifically pointed out, right, like not, he interpreted this as me saying you're sloppy. And I reminded him again, like, actually, I did not say you're sloppy. I did not say you're a terrible worker. I said, we had this deadline. These features were missing. These were the bugs, and that's not acceptable. And then I reframed that. What he wanted at this point was just like, well, I don't criticize you, so let's just not talk about it. Let me work my way, and you don't talk about it. That was not going to work for my boundary. This is where I had to say the no, but instead of just saying, no, that's not okay, I said, all right, if this communication style doesn't work for you, you're not loving this right now on the phone, how can we communicate? And so that was the opening up a dialogue. And we got to a place where we were doing open-ended code reviews. And we were doing them earlier so I could help him where he was stuck. And it was much more productive. And so that cycle, actually after that cycle, I wouldn't say we were quite as buddy as we were before all this blew up. But like that actually turned into a good work relationship. And after that, we were able to kind of work together. I could find projects that were his speed. I could communicate what needed to be done. Things got done on time. And so that no turned things around. But there were a couple other no's that kind of cascaded from that. So now I was pulling an extra burden because I was kind of coding for 1.5 people a little bit at this point. I'd bitten off more than we can chew. I don't think he was ready for the types of assignments they wanted to hire him for. But my boss wanted us not only to code, but to innovate technologically and on our development process so that we can teach our clients a better way to do coding. And I'm like, and so I went to my boss and, you know, I went through this whole phase of like, I'm not going to be able to do this innovation, but I'm not just going to tell him no. I'm going to tell him, hey, I like this coworker. It's fun to talk with him on the video because he was very personable. Everyone thought he was really personable. It's probably, you know, one of his big strengths and that he interviewed really well. So I gave him a compliment. I went back to that specific concrete observation, right? Like we had this deadline. Now he wasn't able to hit that. We had this deadline during the test period. He wasn't able to hit that. I can pick up some of his coding, but the impact of this is that I'm not going to have the time to do some of the technical innovation that you were asking for, working on the systems or processes. And then I made a specific request. Can I not do that, basically? And it was an immediate yes. It wasn't even a problem. Like, I don't know if you work for a lot of bosses who are not hands on the ground, but if they don't understand the problem and you tell them you don't want to do something they're expecting you to do, the first thing they do is argue. But this was very clearly stepped out. It didn't seem like I was being combative because I actually led with saying something good about my coworker. It wasn't judgmental because I was just describing the things that I saw. I laid out the impact and made a specific request. And so that no meant that even though I was coding extra, I was able to offload some of my less critical or less high priority tasks. And so I was able to do, instead of trying to do, you know, five things not very well, I was able to do a couple things well. And we did finish up very well with the client. And the last one, and it's an example of the silence, actually, is they asked me afterwards if I wanted to join them full time. And I did the same thing. I pointed out positively, like, hey, I liked working with this person. I thought some of my bosses did have some great architectural ideas and engineering ideas. And I told them I loved talking engineering with them. I gave them very specific feedback. We had this test session and somebody got through who, because of these reasons, I didn't think was very senior. And that makes me concerned about working at this company. The impact of that it was kind of stressful trying to fill in for this person and manage this person when I was not their manager and I was only supposed to do this work. So I gave the impact and I actually just left it at silence. I didn't say like, no, I'm never going to work for you again or anything like that. I just, sorry, this position isn't working out for me. And what I was surprised to find with this no is they actually came to me with several different offers. At the end of the day, I didn't actually take them up on it because I didn't hear my primary boundary. I need to trust that you can hire and train and evaluate people fairly. That just wasn't solved. But they offered me the ability to pick my own team. They offered me some juicy projects. And what I immediately saw with this no was that if I had done this every time I felt stuck in a job and just negotiated like a level up before I left, I would have had twice as many promotions, right? I would have had an additional promotion at every job I ever worked at, right? And that would be compounding. And so those are three examples of how a no actually took this terrible stressful relationship, made it better. It gave me more time, less stress, and led to new opportunities. So I hope that kind of shows this is a very simple framework. You can use it for all sorts of boundaries. But it's not just to get something off your back. There's a lot that can come from a good no. I want to give you guys time. And I think we have the link in the chat message to write down. You can use this format in the spreadsheet and just practice writing out your no. What is some positive feedback or validation that you can give? What are the concrete step, the concrete issues you're seeing in terms of just sense data? I see, I hear, that kind of thing. No judgments about like you're doing a bad job, just specifically what you see. Third, then the impact to you. And fourth, you can choose whether you're going to make a request, whether you just want to be heard and you're silent after that, or whether you're going to open up a dialogue.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
Thank you, by the way, Alec. I really enjoyed your talk. So we're basically picking a scenario and we are answering those questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so pick a no that you'd like to say in your life. And a good way to identify this is just what is a stressful situation that you would like to leave or avoid? Because typically that's where your boundaries are being crossed. And instead of avoiding them, what if you could use this format to push back on the boundaries in a way that might actually open up opportunities rather than just removing yourself from the situation?
Okay. And this
needs to be clear?
Yeah, it does make sense. This needs to be at the workplace or?
My examples are at the workplace, but you can use this everywhere. In fact, I'll be transparent in what I'm doing and my boundaries are probably right now with my kids, making sure they clean before they move on to another activity. I'll do that example and people can share. These are anonymous in the sheet, but if you want to like share afterwards and give feedback, you might consider how personal your example is.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Since we only have a few minutes, I, first of all, wanted to thank you, Alec, for bringing this conversation. I think this echoes why I strongly feel this impacts our work mental health. Like, it's really important. I mean, I just went through, like, writing this feedback down for a friend who's collaborating with me on a project. And just by writing it down, I felt so much lighter. Because now I see that I have a framework to follow. If I just want to grab a phone call and just call him right now, I can easily communicate this message with him without feeling frustrated and heated. And it's just like, I think the impact was instant. I wanted to share that observation personally. I don't know if anyone has anything else to share.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the talk. Yeah, like, thank you so much. I personally have a lot of problem with saying no. That just is really difficult to me. And I feel like especially the like first part of starting with validation helps a lot with just like dropping the barriers and defensiveness. And it's just even like for me as a person who's starting the conversation, I think acknowledging that positive just changes a little bit the dynamic of like how I approach the conversation. I had problem coming up with a scenario that I wanted to say no, but I love this structure and I'm definitely going to keep reflecting on this. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing the template and the framework.
Absolutely. I will stay on for a few minutes. If there is someone who wants to practice out loud, I know it can be hard saying no. I guess the one last thing I will point out, actually, I call this the open-ended no. And notice you don't actually have to say no anywhere in this framework. But what you say will be much clearer because you will have identified the concrete actions and their impact and, you know, what you want to do or talk about next. So you can say no, I won't do this or this is not working for me, but you don't have to. Does anyone want to share who's sticking around?
I have one question.
Yeah.
One part that stood out for me the most was the fact that you open up and say that, hey, yes, maybe I was in a different situation. I didn't share this feedback sooner, and that's on me. And suddenly our relationship or our working relationship is going to change, right, because of this feedback and everything. And if we want to do a role play and then the opposite party, instead of saying that, oh, yeah, like if you are meaning that I was a sloppy, they said, that, oh, why you have been a sloppy and why you didn't share this sooner. Mm-hmm. I was wondering what will your response would be. Because in fact, we are admitting that we are providing
absolutely ourselves. So you don't actually have to admit that you did something wrong to say, I can see why this seems like a lot all at once for you, right? That's true. Even if I don't think I was in the wrong, and I don't think I was absolutely in the wrong. I think it would have, like, there was a more optimal path knowing what I know now, like going backwards. But like, I don't think my judgment at any individual point was wrong. And so I didn't say that. And there were points where he pushed back. I think you're doing sloppy work. And again, I held kind of the same framework of like, well, this is specifically what I understood the requirements were. And this is what I delivered. Right. And so like sticking again more in the concrete, less like I'm not telling you you're doing sloppy work. I'm saying I saw these things and he couldn't argue with that. It's really, really hard to argue when you're not actually diving into the judgment statements and saying, I think you're a terrible developer or like you are. I didn't even tell him you're not developing at a senior level. I actually thought that. And you know, I could have even said, like, you are not developing, honestly, at the level that I've seen other seniors develop at. But it just wasn't that helpful, right? And so I have not always done this perfectly, but that concrete step makes it really easy, both when you're pointing out problematic behaviors, but also when you feel that you are legitimately justified, then using that concrete perspective to say, this is what I did. And if you really, you know, if you're in that space where you can be teachable, ask like, was this not right? Was this not the correct behavior? Or like, you know, some other, you can ask a learning question afterwards. And that some people will try and dogpile on you if they're really riled up anyway. But I think for a lot of people, if you show and model that ability to listen and be teachable, that will put them on their heels and they might start listening.
Thank you. That was very good.
That was awesome. One thing I do want to append or maybe add is,
please,
from my experience, there is also a step zero of sorts, mm-hmm, where especially in the work environment, and it's actually more in the personal life as well, is understanding their frame of mind. So even before the conversation starts, taking a step back and then stepping in their shoes. And I have often found it very helpful. Why? Trying to understand why. And obviously, we shouldn't spend like the entire day trying to understand. But even before this conversation starts, maybe trying to dig a little deeper on where are they coming from? Mm-hmm. And are they stressed out themselves? Is there something else going on in their life, which leads to certain behaviors? Because and then like this, as a manager, I do try to use it, right? Like, because oftentimes I see the picture when I know what is the ultimate aim, but they do not know where we want to get at. So their approach can be different. So before this thing starts, like just understanding at what state they are in. And this is very true in personal life also, like especially with my kid.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah, that's great. I did ask him because I was trying to suss out some of those things before we got to like the really boundary pushing stage. You know, this seems difficult for you. Are there any issues? And I found out later, after I was willing to say no to him, that he took that as like a passive aggressive dig at him. And I'm like, no, if you had given me a problem, I would have helped you with it. I would have tried. But you know, it's certainly worth the effort to try and do that. Another, I guess, bonus tip actually that you reminded me of when you said step zero, and I'm like, oh, what could you do before this? This is a good one for any critical feedback or no, which is if it's going to be a difficult situation, you can let them have it on their terms. And that's something I did not do with this person. I just called him up when I was like, all right, we need to talk, or I feel we need to talk. But if I had asked, hey, I have some critical conversations about this last project, when can we discuss it? Probably that whole conversation would have been much easier and much less heated because I would have put the ball in his court. I would have given him a measure of control. He would have been more prepared. So that's another great zero, is just letting them know you have feedback and asking them when they want to have it.
That tip, I take it. That was so well said. Thank you, Alec. We are over 5 minutes. I'm going to pause our fireflies and end the official time of the session. But as always, we are going to stay longer and hang out and maybe continue this conversation or talk about the weather in wherever you are. So thank you so much, Alec, again. Thanks, everyone, for joining. This was such an eye-opening conversation, to be honest. So I'm so glad you all made it. Have a wonderful weekend for those who are leaving us.